Blog Talk Radio.
Reach the eye.
Green Bay Packers select Brian Bulaga.
Somebody call 911. Shotty fire burning.
Reach. Ryan Grant is a very consistent football player for us in Green Bay. He's very consistent with the AFC.
This is CD.
CD. All right. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, Jersey Al here.
Oh, Jersey Al.
I got the title.
Who is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who is it?
This isn't the Glenn Beck show.
Oh, oh man.
Glenn.
Hey.
What is going on, Green Bay Packer Nation? Welcome to your August 5th edition of Cheesehead Radio. The season has finally started. I am pumped. There is so much we have to talk about. We're your connection to call in and talk Green Bay Packers tonight while practice is going on. Nothing like flooding your memory with Packers news. We're going to tell you what's been going on in training camp. We're going to talk about who has the inside edge at safety and corner. We're going to talk about where Brian Bulaga is fitting in, and I'm sure we're going to talk about how the team is doomed behind the leg of Mason Crosby. All these questions and more are going to be discussed and debated tonight with your host and favorite Packer bloggers, C.D. Angeli from Tundra Vision. We got Jersey Al Brackle from Jersey Al's Packer Blog, Howie Phelps from The Other 31, and BrentFarve.com, and of course me, Alex Talich, from the Packers Lounge at Cheesehead TV. This week, we are also proud to welcome our guest bloggers, J.R. Augustine and John Rahor of GreenBayPackerNation.com. They're going to be there a little later to talk some Packers and take some questions from you folks as well. As always, we'll end the show with our all-for-all free-for-all, where you, the fan, can call in and say whatever you want. With that, I am going to turn it over to the one, the only, C.D. Angeli. For those about to crock, we salute you.
Those about to crock, fire! Anyway, hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
We're doing good, C.D.
Excellent. I have not been to a single training camp session yet, and yet I feel like I've been at almost every single training camp practice this year. The job that these guys are doing with blogging directly from the training camp practices, this is the most involved I think I've been in training camp ever since I've been a Packer fan.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, they're getting stuff out before the beat writers are.
Yeah. It's really fantastic.
It's a great addition to what the media is doing and everything else. I think you get the whole package this year, and I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. And big props out there, Brian Caribou, Aaron Nagler, Corey Behnke, all of our peeps over there at Cheesehead TV who really were there that first week and got the ball rolling with that. It was fantastic to watch on the Cheesehead TV live blog. Excellent job, guys.
Well, let's talk about it. How about that, CD? I think it's time.
Hey.
Okay, with the Packer news tonight. As I predicted on last week's show, the Packers signed Brian Bulaga the day after the shareholders meeting. Bulaga signed a 5-year, $15 million contract with almost $9 million in guaranteed money. To make room for Bulaga, the Packers cut linebacker John Russell.
I gotta say, it's great to see the Packers with all their ducks in a row. I always like that. Yeah, well, it's not all smooth sailing as the Packers open their first day of training camp. Three players failed the required physicals. As expected, Al Harris is not ready yet, but he's getting close. Surprisingly, rookie James Starks is still suffering from the hamstring issue that bothered him during OTAs. But the big shocker, of course, was safety Atari Bigby. And after refusing to sign his reduced tender until the day before camp, Bigby shows up on day one with an ankle injury. He claimed it was fine all summer and that he hurt it during the conditioning test. We should note that after seeing a doctor in North Carolina, Atari is scheduled for surgery again and will likely now be out at least a few weeks.
So, instead of coming to OTAs and seeing the Packers doctors, Bigby holds out for nothing and now everybody suffers. You know, I'm especially glad now that the Packers lowered his tender.
Yeah.
As reported by Packer Report's Bill Huber, several important Packer players have taken notice of undrafted cornerback Sam Shields. Known mostly as a gunner on special teams, Shields has surprised with this play at cornerback. Tremont Williams told Huber, "He's got ability, he's an explosive guy, he's real fast. I think with some good coaching, he's going to be a player." And then, none other than defensive MVP Charles Woodson chimed in with, "You know what? I think he's going to be able to play for us."
Hey, that's pretty high praise coming from Woodson, you know, just being recognized like that. Now Shields has to earn it, you know. Well, it's been a crazy week for Mason Crosby, with a play-by-play of every kick being reported on Twitter, and fans in an uproar over his lack of early success. Of course, Crosby has been working with two brand new holders, one who's never done it before in his life. And on Tuesday, Crosby made all five attempts without a rush and then missed a 39-yard game winner in team drills. He then tried and made the same kick, but without the rush. It's unlikely he'll get the same opportunity from opponents in the regular season. But Packer coaches, Ted Thompson, they've all been asked every day about Crosby, and it's clear there's a company line. I am not concerned about Mason Crosby.
You know, Holly, while I've certainly railed against Crosby getting a 100% raise and being handed the job, there's really no sense getting too crazy about it now. For better or worse, Crosby will be the Packers kicker. Personally, I'm prepared for the worst.
Yep.
From the Packers police blotter, always a popular topic, there's still no progress in the Brandon Underwood case. The Wisconsin Department of Justice and local authorities are still investigating the case. Meanwhile, Johnny Jolly was given a huge break this week, being offered a plea bargain that would involve no jail time, just community service and random drug and alcohol testing. If Jolly is able to stay clean for one whole year, the felony drug charges will be dropped from his record. Jolly wrote a letter to the judge, which the judge said would remain sealed. "This is between us," said the judge to Jolly. "I'm going to be keeping my eye on you."
Hey, whether or not he suits up for the Packers again, I wish him the absolute best in turning his life around. All right. We've got Clay Matthews, who is looking for a new sack dance, and he has asked fans for suggestions. He recently told Wisconsin TV station Fox 11, "I think I want something new this year. Jared Allen is roping the calf. Trent Cole is the big bow hunter, so he's got the archer. There are lots of sack dances out there, so I'm going to have to think of something quickly. I could use some help, so any suggestions would be perfect for a great sack dance. I would really like to patent one and use it for years to come." So, Packer fans, if you have a suggestion for Clay, you should go to the Fox 11 Facebook page and post it there.
You know, and maybe Clay would actually be mature enough to acknowledge the fan who comes up with it.
Oh, burr.
Maybe.
Okay. News from the Packers Twitterverse. Well, I think the big news this week was that there was so much news in general. Ah, there you go. Better late than ever. I was missing that. I really was.
I'm new here.
Anyway, the news this week is that there was just so much news in general. Between Packers beat writers, bloggers, and fans, we were just inundated with constant details of everything going on at practice. Who dropped a pass? Which punter shanked one? Who had a big hit? You name it, we knew about it instantly. Add to that the posting of Twitter pictures and videos, and it was almost as good as being there. But is that a good thing? I, for one, can't wait for practices to be closed to the public again. Yeah, then maybe I can get some work done instead of just sitting here mesmerized by my computer. Seriously, my productivity took a major hit this week.
Oh, well, yeah, you step away for a meeting or lunch, and there's no way you can catch up. All right, well, here's one thing. With camp underway now, there haven't been too many tweets from players this week. But one, sent on Sunday from Aaron Rodgers, it sticks out. Said Rodgers, fun morning practice, including a little front row high fives and signing a helmet for a birthday girl. I'm a sucker for a good sign. Bring one. Well, there you go, Packer fans. If you're heading to training camp and you hope to get an autograph from QB1, get out your crayons, get out your markers, and get creative. Bring along a sign that will grab his attention.
Might I suggest something with the Lombardi trophy on it, maybe? That's sure to catch his attention.
Sure.
Okay, and the last item in the Packers Twitterverse. Seems that our very own Alex Talish had a great idea to come up with some Brett Favre Croc slogans on Twitter. He threw out a few, and sure enough, they soon started pouring in from other tweeters. Here are just a few examples. Croc and roll all night and throw game-ending interceptions all day. Crocodoodle don't want to go to training camp. Brett Favre, crocked and loaded. I don't blame Favre. That girl was a total croc tease. And my personal favorite, Brett Favre, caught between a croc and a hard place. Yes, folks, that was the tweet of the week.
Oh, man.
God. That seriously got
great
out
idea.
Of hand last night.
Great idea, Alex.
It was fun. I've never seen anything quite like that. For those about to crack. Oh, CD, go ahead. Oh, I guess I'm going to introduce this one, I guess. Are you there, CD?
I am here.
All right. Just
Cheesehead rant of the week.
Cheesehead rant of the week is exactly what we're going to do right now, which is brought to you, actually, by our own CD himself. I have not heard this rant. I don't even know what this rant is about. I'm trying to find this rant, as a matter of fact. And you're stuck in the middle of the jungle somewhere, aren't you, CD?
I am, actually. I'm trying to work my way out of the campground here.
All right. Well, we hope you can hear me. Here we go. Go ahead.
This week's Cheesehead Radio Rant of the Week is directed at head of special teams coach Sean Slocum. No, wait. It went just wide left. Just like the job Slocum has done with coaching one Mason Crosby. Crosby continues to struggle, and it's not just a training camp thing. On Sunday, Crosby went 4-for-9 in his field goal tries, missing from the right hash mark each time. On Monday, he missed both of his attempts. Now, on Tuesday, he went 5-for-5, as long as they didn't put a defense on the field. When they brought in the defense for the same 42-yard kick, guess what? He missed it. But when the defense went off the field again, it went straight down the middle. So as long as we ask opposing teams not to rush Crosby in a regular season game, we should be in great shape this year. Seriously, the amount of pandering Crosby is getting is so dysfunctional it's counterproductive. He has no competition. He has no accountability. Instead of being concerned about Crosby, the Slocum and McCarthy excuse machine moves directly onto the heads of the holders, punters Tim Mathsay and Aussie Chris Bryan. Now, much ado is being made of poor Mason's struggles with having so many different holders throughout his career. It couldn't possibly be his fault. I say no way. Every NFL kicker is subject to the ebbs and flows of the NFL roster, and all must adapt to whomever they are given to hold the ball. It's the job of the kicker and the coach to train that holder to get the ball where it must be, not throw them under the bus after every missed kick in practice. Now, all of his misses on Sunday from the same spot Crosby's had trouble with last season, the right hash mark. Now, this is regardless of having Matt Flynn or Jeremy Kapanos as holder last year or either of the two punters this year. This is not, I repeat, not a holder issue, so don't buy into the hype. We've adjusted the variables, the holders at length. and we keep getting the same mistake. What's the constant? It's the kicker, who keeps missing from the same ball placement regardless of the holder. Now, Slocum has been uncharacteristically quiet this training camp, letting McCarthy do the talking for him with such statements as, "I'm not concerned about Mason Crosby." But fixing this problem is what Slocum gets paid to do, and frankly, I'm getting concerned he's doing more harm than good. Why would you claim, as McCarthy did on Sunday, that it is imperative for Crosby to have consistency with his holder, but switch out Flynn for Kapanos last year, when you didn't need to, and then flip-flop between two punters in training camp this year? It's like the Chewbacca defense. It doesn't make any sense. And why, when Crosby apparently mentioned to Slocum at the end of last season that he wanted to hire and work with a kicking specialist over the offseason, did Slocum publicly forbid him from doing so? What could Slocum have been afraid of? That another coach could work wonders with him? Oh, I guess I answered that question. Face it, it's great to have a kicker who has a 50% shot of making a 60-yard field goal. But if it is on the right hash mark, he has the same percentage of making a 40-yarder, and that's not good enough. There's something wrong with his mechanics or something wrong with his head, and it is Slocum's job to coach him, not have McCarthy go and make excuses for him. According to Rich Goslin's special teams rankings, the Packers ranked 26th in the NFL in 2008, which resulted in the firing of Coach Mike Stock. Under Slocum's leadership, the Packers fell to 31st last year. There's been much ado about no competition being brought in for Mason Crosby this year, and I'm starting to agree. As a poster on my blog stated this week, if anyone should have had competition brought into camp, it's Sean Slocum. And that is your Cheesehead Radio Rant of the Week.
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
Job, CG. Nice.
Bravo.
I totally disagree with like 90% of that, but we'll get to that.
I know you do.
Well, listen, Alex, the good news is you can start writing your next served column right now.
Blog battle.
You know what I will say is CD brings up a good point of having a guy who has a 50% chance of making a 50-yard field goal, and that's why we have Mason Crosby. You know why Ryan Longwell and guys like that percentages are so high? It's because they don't get to try the 60-yarder. You're going to never see a guy like Ryan Longwell trot out and attempt a 60-yarder. You will see a guy like Mason Crosby. Yes, he missed
it. But he missed it anyway.
I guess you didn't see the stats I posted on that column about other kickers and 50 yards.
I don't care about 80%, 8 out of 10, you know what? And I don't care what kicker it is on what team. When your kicker comes out to the field, you're going to be nervous, and that's just how it is. Mason Crosby will be fine, for God's sake. So he might not even have to kick a field goal. God.
We hope.
Don't even get me going.
We hope.
The Packers in 2010. We're not going to kick field goals, and we're not going to punt.
If Mike McCarthy wouldn't hand the ball off on 4th and 1 for 0 yards all the time and let Mason Crosby get the easy 3, maybe his percentage would be a little bit higher. That's all I'm saying.
So you got the interception on that one, right, Alex?
We'll see. Are we going into extra points? Let's go into extra points. I'm getting mad already.
All right, this is our little session we do every week called Extra Points of Contention. We're going to make a statement about the Green Bay Packers that we tend to divide ourselves on. We might have a pro or con opinion on them. We're going to let our illustrious bloggers chime in, all three of them. So we figure one way or another, we're going to have someone win 2-1. So without any further ado, extra point number one. Desmond Bishop has now earned his starting spot ahead of A.J. Hawk. What do you say, guys?
Oh, I'm going to jump in here right here, and I'm going to take a touchdown. But it's going to be more like he might have caught it in the back of the end zone, but I don't think he got his feet out. But there's 2:01 on the clock, so they don't have any flags left and can't challenge it, but we'll take it anyway, touchdown. You know.
You have 20 seconds remaining, Alex.
Yeah, Desmond Bishop is he's great in training camp, but he's not going to take A.J. Hawk's spot. Do I think he deserves it? I think he deserves to see a few more snaps in a game situation, see if what we've seen every single year still holds true, that he's a stud until the regular action starts. That's my touchdown a week of one as it is. Anyone else take the easy interception?
Well, I'll take the interception here. This is like Charles Woodson intercepting Tony Romo at the goal line. Easy as pie. Desmond Bishop has earned nothing in his 3 years with the Packers. He's the kind of hitter you want your linebackers to be, but is he the intelligent player you also want your linebackers to be? No. He makes more dumb moves than Brett Favre with a cell phone. Missed assignments, bad penalties, poor decisions. As much as I like the battering ram that Bishop is, he just can't be trusted as an every-down player. He's good on special teams, and the Packers will try to use him wisely in certain sub-packages like the Psycho. While A.J. Hawk's physical abilities are not going to take him to a Pro Bowl, he's assignment sure, and he'll always be where the Packers coaches want him to be. He's the starter.
Before we go to the tiebreaker, I got to say, Al, you really crocked that one out of the park.
All righty.
Ollie, we're looking at you to break this tie, which I'm not sure if it's actually a tie, but it's sort of a tie. You're the tiebreaker.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. Desmond Bishop is great on Twitter, and man, does he hit hard. And I think that's what makes him ideal for, you know, special teams. It's all about physicality and not being afraid to make the tackle. The problem is that A.J. Hawk is assignment sure. He is more of a thinking guy. He knows where he's supposed to be, and he'll get there. Desmond Bishop hits hard. He's great at that. He's not great at seeing the you know, how the play is going to develop. And I think he lets too many get by him to have earned a spot ahead of a, you know, a guy that maybe, you know, he's not going to make the play before anybody else does, but he's certainly not going to give up the big play. So, no, he hasn't earned anything.
So did you say that? Ow! Oh, my ear.
Am I not supposed to blow the horn there? I thought that.
Oh, well,
like
not in my ear. Would you face that towards Jersey Al, would you?
Fair enough.
Extra point number two. Special teams are going to be the make or break for the Green Bay Packers in 2010.
Agree. Yeah, I do. I will take the touchdown on this one. And, you know, I know we like to talk about how great our defense was last year. I like to talk about how great our defense was last year. And, hey, second in yards allowed is not bad. But here's another way of looking at it. The Packers didn't allow a lot of yards last year because other teams didn't have to travel a whole lot of the field to score. Our coverage on kickoffs and punts was abysmal. And no matter how good your run stuffers are, no matter how good your secondary, when a team only has to travel from the 50-yard line, they're going to have, you know, you're going to have a harder time keeping them out of scoring distance. I'm not even going to talk about Mason Crosby. The Packers were in the bottom of the barrel in every single poll on special teams last year. You know, we know that our offense and our defense can perform, and there's only so much, you know, better that they can get. For the Packers to get over the hump in those close games, like against the Steelers or against the Bengals, you know, the special teams is going to be that aspect of the game that has to change. That's no different from last year or the year before.
I'm going to jump in and take the interception, albeit a tip ball that actually falls in Jared Bush's hands, but only because he's out of position interception. Special teams is always going to be a big part of the whole. I agree with that, but it's not going to make or break the Packers. Aaron Rodgers getting hurt makes or breaks the Packers. Not having a safety that knows what's going on makes or breaks the Packers. Penalties make or break the Packers. Special teams could hurt. It could cost us a game, but it's certainly a lesser part of the whole. And they need to do better. I agree with Ollie on that. But as far as if we our special teams don't play well, if we're ranked in the bottom of the league, are we not going to the Super Bowl? I don't agree with that statement. I'm done.
Okay, I guess I have the deciding vote here. Well, I'm going to back up Alex on this one. I mean, everyone knows how I feel about the Packers kicking game. And, you know, overall, the Packers special teams have ranked near the bottom the last few years. But there are plenty of examples of teams that have made it to the Super Bowl with lousy special teams, including just this past year, the Colts and the Saints, who are both ranked just a few spots higher than the Packers. So I'll continue to bitch about it, but it's not make or break. I'm done.
That could be our new tagline. I'm done.
I'm
very worried. I'm very worried we lost CD here. Because this little thing that tells me if CD here is saying that CD is not here. So, until we get CD here, I'm just going to move on to extra point number three, and we'll all take a turn. If Brett Favre officially retires, that leaves the Packers as the de facto NFC North champs. If Favre goes, are we on top? Who's got the touchdown?
Well, I've got the touchdown on this one. And this is a Desmond Howard in the Super Bowl taking it to the house touchdown for me.
Ooh.
Tavares Jackson, Sage Rosenfels, are you kidding? When Brett Favre threw that miracle last-second touchdown pass to beat the 49ers last year in Game 3, he convinced that entire bunch of ragtag trash merchants we know as the Vikings that they could actually win something. And just in time to face the Packers the next week. His leadership on the field meant more to that team than anything else. Do you think the Vikings players would feel the same with Jackson or Rosenfels out there? Brett Favre has the Vikings over a barrel. Without him, they're not winning anything and they're not getting a new stadium approved. Why do you think Viking Nation went into a panic this week when Favre retirement rumors surfaced? Why? Because without him, they have no shot. Period.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to take the interception. I don't really know which interception it is. I think it'll be any number, any one of the 317 interceptions that he's already thrown. But, you know, I mean, no. The Packers aren't de facto anything. They haven't earned a single win yet. But even if, you know, even if we assume that the Packers will play to their potential, the Vikings are more than Brett Favre. Jared Allen doesn't. You know, his play is not affected, is not impacted by whether Brett Favre is on the field. The ability of, you know, other teams to play well is not, other defenses to play well is not impacted by whether Brett Favre is on the field. You know, yeah, he's a big psychological hurdle for the Packers to get over. Every veteran quarterback is going to be a big hurdle for the Packers secondary to get over. But the Vikings are more than just Brett Favre. And I don't think that the Packers have earned any right to call themselves anything, whether he plays or he doesn't, which I think he will. And if I were a betting woman, August 24th.
Wow. Predictions. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump in, and I'm sorry, Holly, because I think this puts you like 0 for 3 for the day, but I got to back up Jersey out. I'm sorry. When it comes to Brett Favre retiring, I think that the answer to this is really a stone-cold crock. Because the Packers are going to dominate. Did you catch that one? That was nice. I see what I did there. The Packers, Brett Favre, like a Jersey Al said, Brett Favre was everything to that team. He gave them hope, which is something that none of the other teams in the NFL really have right now. No Brett Favre, the Packers are clear and away the best team in the NFC, and I would have said that no matter what the question is, mind you, but no Brett Favre, even with Brett Favre. I don't even know. Packers are the best team in the NFC with or without Brett Favre. How about that? I don't know if that breaks any ties, but I'm going down on the record of saying that right now today. Fair enough?
Good enough.
Fair enough.
Sure.
All right, let's see. I think we might have CD here. Hold on. CD!
I'm back.
All right.
I ran my way through the bush, and yeah, I must have dropped my phone or something.
Fair enough. We're just about to go to a small break before we bring back our guests, John Rayor and Mr. Augustine from Green Bay Packer Nation. So we're going to take a couple-minute break here. We're going to have those guys call in, and CD obviously has a nice long list of questions prearranged to ask these guys, right, CD?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So we're going to get right back to you, folks. If there's anything you want to talk about, we got a live chat going on practice. All I'm looking for is the thing that I need right here, and we are off.
Back, and I just want you to know I got caught dancing to the on hold music that we were playing there.
I love
people
that.
See me doing. It's great. I just got caught dancing. Anyway, hey, the number to call in is 917-932-8401. Press 1 when you want to be connected. But before we get to that, we are talking live, I'm hoping, to John Rayor and J.R. Augustine. Are you guys there?
Oh yeah.
Good evening.
We're hello. Here.
Hey.
All right.
John unfortunately doesn't have his headset, but...
John doesn't have what?
John doesn't have his headset, but we'll get by.
Okay, excellent. Well, welcome. These are John and JR from GreenBayPackerNation.com joining us today.
Thanks.
How you guys doing? How did you guys get started with the whole blogging thing? You guys have been around for a little while, but you guys came on the scene about when?
Oh, well, we came on the scene a little bit before... the draft in 2009, and I guess we got started just because, well, we like writing about Packers. We joined in forums and commented in blog posts here and there, and we just decided to start our own, and it kind of started as just a basic blog, but it's grown from there.
You guys have several different aspects to your site. Can you tell us a little bit, like, who's in charge of what and what you guys have to offer?
Originally we started out with one blog just on GPN, and then we quickly broke that into a quick slant, which was just something quick that we fire out, a lot like Aaron does quite frequently, and then followed up with an insights blog. But we also, I write for a by-the-numbers blog, which is more statistical in nature, because that's kind of what I enjoy. And then Brady, of course, if you've heard anything of Brady, he's the ham of the family, so he's my brother.
Yeah.
And
So
he runs the Cheese Newswire at the cheese.greenbaypackernation.com. And we got quite a few humorous things over there poking fun at Packer players and NFC North teams, and you know, really nobody's exempt.
Very good. You guys maintain quite a presence on Twitter. John,
and Faith.
You're kind of Twitter-tastic over there. I mean, you may actually put Aaron Nagler to shame in terms of the amount of content that you put on Twitter. Do you guys enjoy Twitter? I mean, is this something that you really see as being something taken over, maybe the blogosphere eventually?
You know, when I started up with Twitter, you know, I did it just for fun because I told my wife I just wanted to follow the Packers, and now she says it's like an addiction. She says that I'm like the little girls you see at a restaurant who are, you know, texting away. And every time she sees me do that, she reminds me of that. So it's a pretty constant thing. I think that Twitter is revolutionized the way you get news out to fans. You know, like it was mentioned earlier, it's like being at camp without even being there. You don't have to leave your house. If you open up Cover It Live on Cheesehead TV and open up Twitter, you can pretty much follow everything that's going on, you know, throughout the course of the day. I think it's incredible, and I definitely think it's the wave of the future. And by the way, I don't think anyone will catch up with Aaron for his Twitter ability.
That was just crazy talk.
He's a close second. What do you guys see as it's been come up in a little bit of a discussion this week. I had an article earlier about it. Brian Caribou was on ESPN, I believe with Homer this week. I think it was Homer. And Wildy, just talking about the role of Packer bloggers and how they're kind of changing the game a little bit. What do you guys think about that? How do you think the blogosphere is changing how Packer news is being covered?
Well, I personally think it is giving an open source feel to journalism. I like the fact that Brian considers himself a journalist because we really all are journalists in a sense. Yes, we may be writing editorial pieces, but we're still journalists. And I think the fact that the blogosphere is getting so involved gives some openness. I don't know how to really explain it, but we kind of keep journalists honest by addressing issues that they're not allowed to address.
They kind of have to stick to, I guess, the facts, and we can perhaps be a little more subjective in our writing.
It's super interesting that you. Go ahead.
Even so, I think a journalist who thinks they're completely unbiased is fooling themselves too, because, you know, and maybe not on the smaller scale, the smaller papers, but bigger papers, you know, you're writing what your boss tells you to write, and if he doesn't like the angle you take a different one. So I think they do try to remain more objective, and we can kind of, you know, let fly a little easier, but they're not completely objective either.
All right. Hey, do you guys have any questions for John? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I do, and I was also going to say it's really interesting because during our call-in period, we're going to start off by playing a little bit of Jason Wilde on ESPN talking about Cheesehead TV and bloggers in general and what their role is, and a lot of what was just said here, you're going to hear repeated by Wildy, so that's interesting. But on a totally another note, my question, and the reason why I started blogging in the first place was because I was posting at forums all the time, much like you guys, got sick of it, decided I can do this myself, was sick of the politics, and started a blog. And it brings up a good question. Do you think that forums are on their way out, or is there still a place for that type of platform? I mean, I haven't been personally to a forum in a long time. I've put forums on my site, and they haven't always performed well. Is the forum a dying breed and being replaced by newer things such as the bloggers are doing now, in your opinion?
I think forums have a place. I think the thing about forums is you have to watch out for the trolls that go into there. It takes a lot more filtering to go through a forum to kind of find what you want to talk about versus going through a blog, because a blog, it's going to be relatively straightforward. You're going to go to certain ones, you're going to read what you want to read and take away your opinion. If you go into a forum, it can be chaos with what exactly you're trying to find. And the other thing I find with blogs is you tend to develop a much better rapport with bloggers than you do with people in forums. I think a lot of people in forums, they just go there just to, you know, to put their nonsense out, you know, so it's out there with no real opinion, no real concrete proof of what they're trying to prove. It's just nonsense. I go to them. I don't really participate in them, but they're okay. I would rather stick with blogs.
And I think a lot depends on the individual as well. I think that we're probably always going to find people who feel more comfortable in forums than they do in blogs, maybe because they can get involved in more topics than just the one topic of the day that a blog offers or something like that. So I think they have their place, and I think they'll continue. But blogs are certainly coming on strong.
Good point. I just found it interesting mm-hmm. that a lot of people seem to start their blogs after getting, if you're not wanting to be at forums or being a part of a lot of forums. So interesting topic. But I digress. Go ahead, CD. I'm done talking.
No, you're doing a great job. Actually, I agree with you completely, because that's one reason why I went to my blog, too, was I got tired of some of the politics. Hey, listen, we got about 15 minutes here. Call in number is 917-932-8401. If you got any questions for any of us, regular hosts, or for JR or Mr. Rahor, we would certainly invite you to call in, get yourself a free swag rating. John, you wanted a swag rating, too, right, out of this?
I did. At least I know I have one, courtesy of
Tom. Yes, he has a bonus point. I was quite entertained by all of the croc jokes last night, and when I made the decision to individually thank the people who were making me giggle, I neglected one important person, and when he pointed it out to me, I promised that his swag rating tonight would have.
Are we going to have our first 90 plus, do you think? It's our first 90 plus?
Well, the way I figure it is, you guys give him a swag rating, take one off, and then I'll put it back on.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no.
Alex, since we're on the topic of the blogosphere, how about we get that snippet of Brian Caribou and give us a lead into that there?
This is actually mostly Wilde just talking. I know a lot of you go listen to Brian's interview. It's posted on Cheesehead TV. But the really interesting part that no one heard was before the show started what they were talking about. And I got a clip here of Wilde's thoughts on blogging and where he thinks it fits in the grand scheme of things. And it's just a great conversation starter. So here it is, about a minute long.
It was interesting this week because there were a lot of guys from the kind of the blogger world. You know, Aaron Nagler came, and Corey Behnke, Alex Talich, all those guys from the kind of the citizen journalists were at camp. I don't know if they're going to be there again today. I know they were there yesterday. Greg Bedard sat with them in the stands, and I really think that they serve a really valuable purpose for those of us that cover the team, because they're kind of, I don't want to call them our checks and balances, but it's neat to have people who are as passionate about the Packers that these guys have real jobs, and then they do this as kind of their hobby. So they kind of keep you honest, and there's a fervent following for the Packers, and these guys kind of tapped into that in various ways.
Very interesting clip, and it just rings what was just said here earlier.
For the record, # Wilde doesn't suck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wilde rules. I mean, you got to admit, I mean, it sounds like people are starting to accept the blogger a little bit more each day, even a crazy blogger like me. I mean, they're talking more about the Naglers of the world. I understand that, and I know what my place is, so I'm not even going to go there. But, you know, it's starting to all come together. And, you know, it's nice to hear a media guy say things like that and agree that there's a place. And he talks about the check and balances that, you know, that JR was talking about. You know, we keep everybody honest. We keep them in check. And at the same time, we have our own opinions. And I love that. Ooh, do we have
one
a call? Let me
that...
see. Ooh, we might have a call. Ooh. Hold on. I got to figure out how to do the call. If you're holding on the call, hold on. I'm figuring out how to do the call. I'm running this for CD, by the way, tonight. So okay, I'm going to make the phone ring. Oh, we got a call. Does that sound good?
Hey.
All right, here we go. All right, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who we got here?
Packer HQ talking to you, Mr. Talish.
What's up, Mark? What's going
hey,
on?
Hey, what's
Packer
going on?
HQ?
Hey, listen, just want to get back to the forum and the blogging thing. I started up the other way. I actually started blogging at Sporting News, oh, good 2-3 years before I switched to forums. And the point I wanted to make is when you're on a big blog like that, when you have other fans from other teams, it makes it even more difficult to blog, because just imagine if every Viking fan, every Bear fan, every Lions fan gets to pick apart what you blog. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah,
very
yeah,
good
that'd
point.
Be fairly impossible.
So, I mean, so that's... Go ahead.
As a forum owner, you're seeing a lot... I mean, as a forum owner, are you seeing the forums just as active as they always have been?
No, not at all. You made a very valid point. I think blogs and forums have a certain place. Certain people are not going to be comfortable with blogs for whatever reason, especially a lot of some of the older people just haven't gotten the niche yet, but it's coming around. I mean, Cheesehead TV is absolutely taking over Packer Nation, there's no doubt. Okay, what you guys are doing with Cheesehead TV, what's going on with Cheesehead Radio, it's leading the way. So hats off to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, totally appreciate that.
It's the best thing.
I was going to say, okay, why don't you plug your plug right here? It's the perfect spot for the Packer HQ plug. So
Packer HQ
your moment.
Forum.
By the way, go ahead.
Packer HQ Forum, stop by and see us. Big hats off to the two people that really got me involved in it were Alex and Midwest Fan Iron Man. Those of you that know him, top of the line guy. So, but hats off to everybody at Cheesehead Radio. I think it's pretty much consensus. You guys are leading the way. So thank you, all of you.
Well, thank you. Excellent.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
Mark,
for
we'll talk to you later. Thank
all
you.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
All righty.
Mark from Packers HQ. Interesting. The forum topic was interesting. By the way, if anyone ever says I have an accent again, I'm deferring to that phone call. That's a heavy Southern accent right there. So where were we? Am I stealing the show, CD? I feel like I'm stealing the show.
Oh, feel
let's
free.
Let's talk some football. Let's talk about
yeah,
some
let's
football
talk
some here.
Football.
Let's get on the field.
I agree. I like what I'm seeing so far. Well, you know, we had this little thing with Rodgers in the week where he didn't seem to do sharp, and ever since then he seemed to light it up. You know, I'm so excited to see this offense on the field with almost the same identical thing last year with a year under their belt. I can't see how anyone's going to be able to stop everything. The only thing standing in the way of this offense is themselves, and if they can keep that together, I don't ever remember being this excited for a season or an offense.
It's all on the offensive line, as far as I'm concerned, for the offense. You know, some protection for Rodgers, and there's just no stopping them. That's what it comes down to for me. That's the only question mark I see.
Do you feel
It's a fair point. It's a fair point, the offensive line, but they did the job last year. I mean, sometimes I scratch my head. I don't know how they did it, you know, shuffling some guys in and out. And, of course, you had the whole Alan Barbere, you know, trial and error. I think this offense has no limits this year.
I almost feel bad for feeling so confident.
We can't have Rodgers hit as much as he was hit last year there. I don't care. I mean, you're running the risk that he gets an injury, you lose him, even if it's just for a few games, and that could be the difference in the season. So, to me, yeah, I think the offense can be unstoppable if we block for Rodgers, if we protect him.
I think through the first seven games last year, he was on pace to break David Carr's sack record in a season.
Yep.
Yeah,
but they stepped it up when they got Tauscher back. Tauscher comes back, all of a sudden things are making sense again, and things got better. If we can just start where we left off, start there.
Yep.
I still get a kick out of Mike McCarthy coming out and saying that he couldn't go through 50 sacks again. It's like, yes, because you took every single one of them.
That he did. Hey, we got callers. Is there anyone listening? How come no one calls this show anyway? You get a free swag. We haven't given these guys a swag rating either, by the way.
You know, I've been thinking about this.
I mean,
Colleen is on the live blog over at Blog Talk Radio, and she's begging us not to give out anything above an 89. but I don't know. John's got some serious swagger.
He does. He does. You know, I was thinking of a pair of 88s, and then he had one, and it almost ties. Why? I don't know if we're ever going to have a 90 swag rating on here. Is there such a thing? I'm deferring to CD because I like everybody, and if anyone's going to yell about swag rating, it's going to be at CD. So,
oh, sure.
As the host of this show, you can swag it out right now.
All
right.
Well, we'll say John at 89 with the little plus one. JR? Oh, boy. I would say, you know, he did some good talking in there. I would have to say he's at a good 87.
I'll even jump
maybe
in.
Maybe an 88.
That crash and burn?
No. 88's no crash and burn. That's better than JerMichael Finley.
It is.
Well, JerMichael didn't give out his prizes, so, you know, he's got some big points against him.
I hate to go back to this Finley thing, but it's probably better than talking about Mason Crosby, but how can he sell TGI Finley shirt? How can he let him do it? It's like, it's TGI, it's how can he sell those? I just don't get it. Why doesn't anyone tell him? But again, and by the way, you can get your TGIF shirts, a preview on Fox 11 tonight, by the way, I heard from Paige Pearson. So whatever it is, they're coming. I don't know how long they'll last, so buy them before Friday's pulls them off the shelves. I don't know.
I'm just going to set it right now. The OMGIC t-shirts. That is now officially my idea. The oh my God. It's Crosby. That's mine.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, OMGIC.
And that's when you don't have to worry about the players taking from you either, you know?
Nobody wants that one. What's going on in the live chat? We got stuff going on. I'm going to poke over there and see if anyone, TGIF, whatever. Is anyone talking about anything?
Well, Colin,
all right, you guys.
Nick Barnett's shirts. Has anybody gotten those Super Bowl or Die t-shirts? He started
what is
to,
it? XLB or Die? XLB or Die? Yeah. Is that what it says?
XLB
on there?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I saw them. They look all right. You know?
They've got on the back, they've got Barnett and his number. So, you know, it's more than just a one-sided t-shirt. It looks pretty good.
It does look pretty cool. Just catch the damn ball. They're on your side. Do we have any chat room questions here? We got 8 minutes left. What are you going on in the chat room? I see you guys on the live blog asking 8 times what we think about Starks. So what do we got going on the live blog? Questions? Anything? Bueller?
Hey, Alex, for the record, if anybody's out there thinking about blogging and they're just kind of scared to do it, GPN's got a My Blog feature where all you have to do is be a member and you get your own blog. And I tell you, if you write pretty good, John will put you on the front page.
I'll send them over there because I used to do that too, and I'm not doing it anymore. So that's a good point. There's another one. Green Bay Packer Nation. I do have a lot of people, actually, that want to submit articles or ask, you know, I got an opinion on this and I can put it up, and I used to, but that's good to know. Green Bay Packer Nation, shove it their way. I also got to plug Wally Bingle right here who told me the same thing, but that's good to know. And you can actually have your own blog over there at Green Bay Packer Nation as a separate entity as well, so.
Cool. Yep.
But there you go, guys, for everyone that sends me DMs asking about articles. Right on.
Excellent. Hey, what do you guys think about the defense? We talked a little bit about the offense. What are we looking at for the defense this year?
That's what we're not talking about. What about this whole switch between Chiller and Matthews? Holly was talking about it. Holly, you had some strong opinions on that.
Again, I don't know if it's so much strong opinions as it's confusing to me. You know, why if they if they think that, you know, he'll be so much better on the left-hand side. I thought that there was some talk about with Clay being left-handed, it's more natural from the right side. I mean, maybe they want him to be Julius Peppers and just line up wherever he feels like it. But I need to see it in a game.
Holly.
Yeah,
that's my take on it. I think they just want to be able to line up Matthews anywhere they please and just give the other team fit so they don't know what's coming. And I think this is the beginning.
Apparently at practice tonight, they were doing one-on-ones with the offensive line. Brian was tweeting about this, Brian Caribou, and apparently he caused at least one false start on the offensive line in one-on-ones. And we're not talking about you know, Alan Barber here. Apparently, Clifton and Tauscher had trouble staying on the line. So
that's good to hear.
He'll be a player, no matter where he lines up, I think.
I think the more places you can put a playmaker, the better. I'm all for it. I still want to see Brad Jones on the field, though. If it's at the expense of Brad Jones, I don't know if I'm for it as much, because I still think I have confidence that he's the next best guy in there, so... You know, maybe see Chiller get some more reps and they bounce out and you got a fresh, you know, set of backers every time. We'll see, but I like the idea, even if it is a smoke screen, which it could be.
Do you guys think Shields is going to earn his way onto the into a starting role, or at least into a roster spot this year ahead of some of these other Pat Lee types who've been hanging around for a year or two?
He's got to catch punts from a jugs machine, which he still can't do.
No.
For sure.
Can't catch kick returns from a jug machine either, according to
Brian on tonight's blog.
Yeah.
Well, luckily in a game, you don't have to catch it from a jug machine.
But they're certainly not putting him on the punt returns. No way.
It's just strange with all the praise he got from Clifton.
Yeah, I was very surprised. That's why I put that into the news there. I mean, I don't remember... that was on the Packer Report that I had seen that. And I was really surprised by Tremont Williams and Woodson saying, hey, this guy can play for us. I mean, all other reports have been that this guy's as green as they come, you know, and is going to need plenty of time. But, you know, maybe they see the speed and the excitement that he can bring, and, you know, he's winning them over, I guess. But can he cover somebody is the question.
I agree, Al. They see everything. I agree the coaches see everything, kind of like they see that there's nothing wrong with Mason Crosby. So, I mean, I agree with you.
You know, I knew if you were agreeing with me, there had to be a catch.
Well,
trust
I think
your
that's
coach.
Something, I think that's something we'll have to be watching for in this, you know, in the next couple weeks of camp. You know, what happens if he continues to progress.
There was a really good poll question on this morning's blog that Brian posted that went something along the lines of, besides Aaron Rodgers, who is the one player the Packers cannot afford to lose? What do you guys think about that one?
Ooh.
Charles Woodson.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, this guy Charles is one.
Choices were Woodson, Matthews. You know, Woodson, Matthews, Clifton, Finley were the main choices.
Jennings was on
Everybody
there.
Everybody say Woodson? Yeah, Jennings was on there too, right.
I wrote an article about that last year, and I said Woodson simply because if he goes, they really have no one to back him up. If you lose Matthews, yeah, it's a tremendous hit, but they've got a slew of linebackers who obviously aren't going to do the job Matthews does, but they've got a lot of bodies there. If Woodson goes out, they've got a lot of unproven talent that would be filling in for him.
Well, I hate to do it, folks, but we're running out of time here. So, Holly,
I know. But, guys, this has been a great conversation. We'll be back at the same time, same channel next week with another guest blogger calling in, talking training camp and family night. Check out our blogs and Cheesehead TV, and you can always call the hotline at 316- CH Radio, leave us a message and we might play it on the air. But we'd rather talk to you live. And if you can't listen because you're not at a computer, when the show is live, you can just call in the regular number, 917-932-8401, and listen over your phone. If you want to listen to us on your iPod, She Said Radio is now on iTunes. And if you'd like to stream the latest podcast over the mobile device, we are also available on Stitcher. Special thanks to our callers. That would be Mark from Packers HQ, and also to JR and John for joining us. Guys, it's been great. Got any last thoughts for us?
Been a great show.
Yeah. 86 for Mark for his flag rating. Yeah.
86.
Good
Mark
job, everyone.
Rating.
Go Pack, go.
We'll see you, Packer Nation.
Good night, all.